Sing a funeral song for the king of Tyre, and tell him I am saying, At one time you were perfect, intelligent, and good-looking. You lived in the Garden of Eden and wore jewelry made of brightly colored gems and precious stones. They were all set in gold and were ready for you on the day you were born. I appointed a winged creature to guard your home on my holy mountain where you walked among gems that dazzled like fire. You were truly good from the time of your birth, but later you started doing wicked things. You traded with other nations and became more and more cruel and evil. So I forced you to leave my mountain, and the creature that had been your protector now chased you away from the gems. It was your good looks that made you arrogant, and you were so famous that you started acting like a fool. That's why I threw you to the ground and let other kings sneer at you. You have cheated so many other merchants that your places of worship are corrupt. So I set your city on fire and burned it down. Now everyone sees only ashes where your city once stood, and the people of other nations are shocked. Your punishment was horrible, and you are gone forever. Judgment on Sidon and peace for Israel. The Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, condemn the city of Sidon and tell its people, I, the Lord God, am your enemy. People will praise me when I punish you, and they will see that I am holy. I will send deadly diseases to wipe you out, and I will send enemies to invade and surround you. Your people will be killed, and you will know that I am the Lord. When that happens, the people of Israel will no longer have cruel neighbors that abuse them and make them feel as though they are in a field of thorns and briars. And the Israelites will know that I, the Lord God, have done these things. A blessing for Israel. The Lord God said, Someday I will gather the people of Israel from the nations where they are now scattered, and every nation will see that I am holy. The Israelites will once again live in the land I gave to my servant Jacob. They will be safe and will build houses and plant vineyards. They will no longer be in danger because I will punish their hateful neighbors. Israel will know that I am the Lord, their God. Judgment on the King of Egypt. Chapter 29. 10 years after King Jehoiakim and the rest of us had been led away as prisoners to Babylonia, the Lord spoke to me on the 12th day of the 10th month. He said, Ezekiel, son of man, condemn the King of Egypt. Tell him and his people that I am saying, King of Egypt, you are like a giant crocodile lying in a river. You acted as though you owned the Nile and made it for yourself. But now I, the Lord God, am your enemy. I will put a hook in your jaw and pull you out of the water, and all the fish in your river will stick to your scaly body. I'll throw you and the fish into the desert, and your body will fall on the hard ground. You will be left unburied, and wild animals and birds will eat your flesh. Then everyone in Egypt will know that I am the Lord. You and your nation refused to help the people of Israel and were nothing more than a broken stick. When they reached out to you for support, you broke in half, cutting their arms and making them fall. So I, the Lord God, will send troops to attack you, King of Egypt. They will kill your people and livestock until your land is a barren desert. Then you will know that I have done these things. You claim that you made the Nile River and control it. Now I am turning against you and your river. Your nation will be nothing but an empty wasteland all the way from the town of Migdol in the north to Aswan in the south, and as far as the border of Ethiopia. No human or animal will even dare travel through Egypt because no sign of life will be found there for 40 years. It will be the most barren place on earth. Every city in Egypt will lie in ruins during those 40 years, and I will scatter your people throughout the nations of the world. And after those 40 years have passed, I will bring your people back from the places where I scattered them. They will once again live in their homeland in southern Egypt, but they will be a weak kingdom and won't ever be strong enough to rule nations as they did in the past. My own people Israel will never again depend on your nation. In fact, when the Israelites remember what happened to you Egyptians, they will realize how wrong they were to turn to you for help. Then the Israelites will know that I, the Lord God, did these things. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia will conquer Egypt. 27 years after King Jehoiakim and the rest of us had been led away as prisoners to Babylonia, the Lord spoke to me on the first day of the first month. He said, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia has attacked the city of Tyre. He forced his soldiers to carry so many heavy loads that their heads were rubbed bald, and their shoulders were red and sore. Nebuchadnezzar and his army still could not capture the city, so now I will hand over the nation of Egypt to him. He will take Egypt's valuable treasures and give them to his own troops. Egypt will be his reward, because he and his army have been following my orders. I, the Lord God, have spoken. Ezekiel, when Egypt is defeated, I will make the people of Israel strong, and I will give you the power to speak to them. Then they will know that I, the Lord, have done these things. Egypt will be a barren desert. Chapter 30. The Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, tell the people of Egypt that I am saying, cry out in despair, because you will soon be punished. That will be a time of darkness and doom for all nations. Your own nation of Egypt will be attacked, and Ethiopia will suffer. You will be killed in battle, and your land will be robbed and left in ruins. Soldiers hired from Ethiopia, Libya, Lydia, Arabia, Cub, as well as from Israel, will die in that battle. All of your allies will be killed, and your proud strength will crumble. People will die from Migdol in the north to Aswan in the south. I, the Lord, have spoken. Your nation of Egypt will be the most deserted place on earth, and its cities will lie in complete ruin. I will set fire to your land, and anyone who defended your nation will die. Then you will know that I am the Lord. On the same day I destroy Egypt, I will send messengers to the Ethiopians to announce their coming destruction. They think they are safe, but they will be terrified. Your Egyptian army is very strong, but I will send King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia to completely defeat that army. He and his cruel troops will invade and destroy your land and leave your dead bodies piled everywhere. I will dry up the Nile River and sell the land to evil buyers. I will send foreigners to turn your entire nation into a barren desert. I, the Lord, have spoken. Egypt's proud cities will lie in ruins. The Lord said to the people of Egypt, all the idols and images you Egyptians worship in the city of Memphis will be smashed. No one will be left to rule your nation, and terror will fill the land. The city of Pathros will be left in ruins, and Zoan will be burned to the ground. Thebes, your capital city, will also be destroyed. The fortress city of Pelusium will feel my fierce anger, and all the troops stationed at Thebes will be slaughtered. I will set fire to your nation of Egypt. The city of Pelusium will be in anguish. Thebes will fall, and the people of Memphis will live in constant fear. The young soldiers in the cities of Heliopolis and Bubastis will die in battle, and the rest of the people will be taken prisoner. You were so proud of your nation's power, that when I crush that power and kill that pride, darkness will fall over the city of Tapanhes. A dark, gloomy cloud will cover the land as you are being led away into captivity. When I'm through punishing Egypt, you will know that I am the Lord. Egypt's king is powerless. 11 years after King Jehoiakim and the rest of us had been led away as prisoners to Babylonia, the Lord spoke to me on the 7th day of the first month. He said, Ezekiel, son of man, I, the Lord, have defeated the king of Egypt. I broke his arm, and no one has wrapped it or put it in a sling so that it could heal and get strong enough to hold a sword. So tell him that I am now his worst enemy. I will break both his arms, the good one and the broken one. His sword will drop from his hand forever, and I will scatter the Egyptians all over the world. I will strengthen the power of Babylonia's king and give him my sword to use against Egypt. I will also make the wounded king of Egypt powerless, and he will moan in pain and die in front of the Babylonian king. Then everyone on earth will know that I am the Lord. I will force the Egyptians to live as prisoners in foreign nations, and they will know that I, the Lord, have punished them. Egypt's king will be chopped down like a cedar tree. Chapter 31. 11 years after King Jehoiakim and the rest of us had been led away as prisoners to Babylonia, the Lord spoke to me on the first day of the third month. He said, Ezekiel, son of man, tell the king of Egypt and his people that I am saying, You are more powerful than anyone on earth. Now listen to this. There was once a cedar tree in Lebanon with large, strong branches reaching to the sky. This tree had plenty of water to help it grow tall, and nearby streams watered the other trees in the forest. But this tree towered over those other trees, and its branches grew long and thick. Birds built nests in its branches, and animals were born beneath it. People from all nations lived in the shade of this strong tree. It had beautiful long branches, and its roots found water deep in the soil. None of the cedar trees in my Garden of Eden were as beautiful as this tree. No tree of any kind had such long branches. I, the Lord, gave this tree its beauty, and I helped the branches grow strong. All other trees in Eden wanted to be just like it. King of Egypt, now listen to what I, the Lord God, am saying about that tree. The tree grew so tall that it reached the sky and became very proud and arrogant. So I, the Lord God, will reject the tree and hand it over to a foreign ruler who will punish it for its wickedness. Cruel foreigners will chop it down and leave it wherever it falls. Branches and broken limbs will be scattered over the mountains and in the valleys. The people living in the shade of those branches will go somewhere else. Birds will then nest on the stump of the fallen tree, and wild animals will trample its branches. Never again will any tree dare to grow as tall as this tree, no matter how much water it has. Every tree must die, just as humans die, and go down to the world of the dead. On the day this tree dies and goes to the world below, I, the Lord God, will command rivers and streams to mourn its death. Every underground spring of water and every river will stop flowing. The mountains in Lebanon will be covered with darkness as a sign of their sorrow, and all the trees in the forest will wither. This tree will crash to the ground, and I will send it to the world below. Then the nations of the earth will tremble. The trees from Eden and the choice trees from Lebanon are now in the world of the dead, and they will be comforted when this tree falls. Those people who found protection in its shade will also be sent to the world below, where they will join the dead. King of Egypt, all these things will happen to you and your people. You were like this tree at one time, taller and stronger than anyone on earth. But now you will be chopped down, just as every tree in the Garden of Eden must die. You will be sent down to the world of the dead, where you will join the godless and the other victims of violent death. I, the Lord God, have spoken. A Funeral Song for the King of Egypt. Chapter 32. 12 years after King Jehoiakim and the rest of us had been led away as prisoners to Babylonia, the Lord spoke to me on the first day of the 12th month. He said, Ezekiel, son of man, condemn the king of Egypt and tell him I am saying, You act like a lion roaming the earth, but you are nothing more than a crocodile in a river, churning up muddy water with your feet. King of Egypt, listen to me. I, the Lord God, will catch you in my net, and let a crowd of foreigners drag you to shore. I will throw you into an open field where birds and animals will come to feed on your body. I will spread your rotting flesh over the mountains and in the valleys, and your blood will flow throughout the land and fill up the streams. I will cover the whole sky and every star with thick clouds so that the sun and moon will stop shining. The heavens will become black, leaving your country in total darkness. I, the Lord, have spoken. Foreign nations you have never heard of will be shocked when I tell them how I destroyed you. They will be horrified, and when I flash my sword in victory on the day of your death, their kings will tremble in fear of what could happen to them. The king of Babylonia is coming to attack you, king of Egypt. Your soldiers will be killed by the cruelest army in the world, and everything you take pride in will be crushed. I will slaughter your cattle that graze by the river, and no people or livestock will be left to muddy its water. The water will be clear, and streams will be calm. I, the Lord God, have spoken. Egypt will become a barren wasteland, and no living thing will ever survive there. Then you and your people will know that I am the Lord. This is your warning, and it will be used as a funeral song by foreign women to mourn the death of your people. I, the Lord God, have spoken. A sad ending for Egypt. On the 15th day of that same month, the Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, mourn for the Egyptians, and condemn them to the world of the dead, where they will be buried alongside the people of other powerful nations. Say to them, You may be more beautiful than the people of other nations, but you will also die and join the godless in the world below. You cannot escape. The enemy's sword is ready to slaughter every one of you. Brave military leaders killed in battle will gladly welcome you and your allies into the world of the dead. The graves of soldiers from Assyria are there. They once terrified people, but they were killed in battle, and now lie deep in the world of the dead. The graves of soldiers from Elam are there. The very sight of those godless soldiers once terrified their enemies and made them panic. But now they are disgraced and ashamed as they lie in the world of the dead, alongside others who were killed in battle. The graves of soldiers from Meshech and Tubal are there. These godless soldiers who terrified people were all killed in battle. They were not given a proper burial like the heroes of long ago, and were buried with their swords under their heads and with their shields over their bodies. These were the heroes who made their enemies panic. You Egyptians will be cruelly defeated, and you will be buried alongside these other godless soldiers who died in battle. The graves of kings and leaders from Edom are there. They were powerful at one time. Now they are buried in the world of the dead with other godless soldiers killed in battle. The graves of the rulers of the north are there, as well as those of the Sidonians. Their powerful armies once terrified enemies. Now they lie buried in the world of the dead, where they are disgraced like other soldiers killed in battle. The Lord God says, When your king of Egypt sees all of these graves, he and his soldiers will be glad they are not the only ones suffering. I sent him to terrify people all over the earth, but he and his army will be killed and buried alongside other godless soldiers in the world of the dead. I, the Lord God, have spoken. The Lord appoints Ezekiel to stand watch. Chapter 33. The Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, warn your people by saying, Someday I, the Lord, may send an enemy to invade a country. And suppose its people choose someone to stand watch and to sound a warning signal when the enemy is seen coming. If any of these people hear the signal and ignore it, they will be killed in battle. But it will be their own fault, because they could have escaped if they had paid attention. But suppose the person watching fails to sound the warning signal. The enemy will attack and kill some of the sinful people in that country, and I, the Lord, will hold that person responsible for their death. Ezekiel, I have appointed you to stand watch for the people of Israel. So listen to what I say, then warn them for me. When I tell wicked people they will die because of their sins, you must warn them to turn from their sinful ways. But if you refuse to warn them, you are responsible for their death. If you do warn them, and they keep sinning, they will die because of their sins, and you will be innocent. The Lord is always fair. The Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, the people of Israel are complaining that the punishment for their sins is more than they can stand. They have lost all hope for survival, and they blame me. Tell them that as surely as I am the living Lord God, I don't like to see wicked people die. I enjoy seeing them turn from their sins and live. So if the Israelites want to live, they must stop sinning and turn back to me. Tell them that when good people start sinning, all the good they did in the past cannot save them from being punished. And remind them that when wicked people stop sinning, their past sins will be completely forgiven, and they won't be punished. Suppose I promise good people that they will live. Then later they start sinning and believe they will be saved by the good they did in the past. These people will certainly be put to death because of their sins. Their good deeds will be forgotten. Suppose I warn wicked people that they will die because of their sins, and they stop sinning and start doing right. For example, they need to return anything they have taken as security for a loan, and anything they have stolen. Then, if they stop doing evil and start obeying my law, they will live. Their past sins will be forgiven, and they will live because they have done right. Ezekiel, your people accuse me of being unfair, but they are the ones who are unfair. If good people start doing evil, they will be put to death because they have sinned. And if wicked people stop sinning and start doing right, they will save themselves from punishment. But the Israelites still think I am unfair. So warn them that they will be punished for what they have done. The News of Jerusalem's Fall. 12 years after King Jehoiakim and the rest of us had been led away as prisoners to Babylonia, a refugee who had escaped from Jerusalem came to me on the 5th day of the 10th month. He told me that the city had fallen. The evening before this man arrived at my house, the Lord had taken control of me. So when the man came to me the next morning, I could once again speak. What will happen to those left in Israel? Then the Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, the people living in the ruined cities of Israel are saying, Abraham was just one man, and the Lord gave him this whole land of Israel. There are many of us, and so this land must be ours. So Ezekiel, tell them I am saying, how can you think the land is still yours? You eat meat with blood in it, and worship idols. You commit murder, and spread violence throughout the land. Everything you do is wicked. You are even unfaithful in marriage. And you claim the land is yours? As surely as I am the living Lord God, you people in the ruined cities will be killed in battle. Those of you living in the countryside will be eaten by wild animals, and those hiding in caves and on rocky cliffs will die from deadly diseases. I will make the whole country an empty wasteland and crush the power in which you take such pride. Even the mountains will be bare, and no one will try to cross them. I will punish you because of your sins, and I will turn your nation into a barren desert. Then you will know that I am the Lord. The people listen, but don't change. The Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, the people with you in Babylonia talk about you when they meet by the city walls or in the doorways of their houses. They say, let's ask Ezekiel what the Lord has said today. So they all come and listen to you. But they refuse to do what you tell them. They claim to be faithful, but they are forever trying to cheat others out of their money. They treat you as though you were merely singing love songs or playing music. They listen, but don't do anything you say. Soon they will be punished, just as you warned, and they will know that a prophet has been among them. Israel's leaders are worthless shepherds. Chapter 34. The Lord God said, Ezekiel, son of man, Israel's leaders are like shepherds taking care of my sheep, the people of Israel. But I want you to condemn these leaders and tell them, I, the Lord God, say you shepherds of Israel are doomed. You take care of yourselves while ignoring my sheep. You drink their milk and use their wool to make your clothes. Then you butcher the best ones for food. But you don't take care of the flock. You have never protected the weak ones, or healed the sick ones, or bandaged those that get hurt. You let them wander off, and never look for those that get lost. You are cruel and mean to my sheep. They strayed in every direction, and because there was no shepherd to watch them, they were attacked and eaten by wild animals. So my sheep were scattered across the earth. They roamed on hills and mountains without anyone even bothering to look for them. Now listen to what I, the living Lord God, am saying to you shepherds. My sheep have been attacked and eaten by wild animals because you refused to watch them. You never went looking for the lost ones, and you fed yourselves without feeding my sheep. So I, the Lord, will punish you. I will rescue my sheep from you and never let you be their shepherd again or butcher them for food. I, the Lord, have spoken. The Lord is the good shepherd. The Lord God then said, I will look for my sheep and take care of them myself, just as a shepherd looks for lost sheep. My sheep have been lost since that dark and miserable day when they were scattered throughout the nations. But I will rescue them and bring them back from the foreign nations where they now live. I will be their shepherd and will let them graze on Israel's mountains and in the valleys and fertile fields. They will be safe as they feed on grassy meadows and green hills. I promise to take care of them and keep them safe, to look for those that are lost and bring back the ones that wander off, to bandage those that are hurt and protect the ones that are weak. I will also slaughter those that are fat and strong, because I always do right. Judgment on the strong sheep. The Lord God said to his sheep, the people of Israel, I will carefully watch each one of you to decide which ones are the strong sheep and which ones are weak. Some of you eat the greenest grass, then trample down what's left when you finish. Others drink clean water, then step in the water to make the rest of it muddy. That means my other sheep have nothing fit to eat or drink. So I, the Lord God, will separate you strong sheep from the weak. You strong ones have used your powerful horns to chase off those that are weak, but I will rescue them and no longer let them be mistreated. I will separate the good from the bad. After that, I will give you a shepherd from the family of my servant King David. All of you, both strong and weak, will have the same shepherd, and he will take good care of you. He will be your leader, and I will be your God. I, the Lord, have spoken. A bright future for the Lord's sheep. The Lord God said, The people of Israel are my sheep, and I solemnly promise that they will live in peace. I will chase away every wild animal from the desert and the forest, so my sheep will not be afraid. They will live around my holy mountain, and I will bless them by sending more than enough rain to make their trees produce fruit and their crops to grow. I will set them free from slavery and let them live safely in their own land. Then they will know that I am the Lord. Foreign nations will never again rob them, and wild animals will no longer kill and eat them. They will have nothing to fear. I will make their fields produce large amounts of crops, so they will never again go hungry or be laughed at by foreigners. Then everyone will know that I protect my people Israel. I, the Lord, make this promise. They are my sheep, I am their God, and I take care of them. Edom will be a wasteland. Chapter 35. The Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, condemn the people of Edom and say to them, I, the Lord God, am now your enemy, and I will turn your nation into an empty wasteland, leaving your towns in ruins. Your land will be a desert, and then you will know that I am the Lord. People of Edom, not only have you been Israel's long-time enemy, you simply watched when disaster wiped out its people as punishment for their sins. And so, as surely as I am the living Lord God, you are guilty of murder and must be put to death. I will destroy your nation and kill anyone who travels through it. Dead bodies will cover your mountains and fill up your valleys, and your land will lie in ruins forever. No one will live in your towns ever again. You will know that I am the Lord. You thought the nations of Judah and Israel belonged to you and that you could take over their territory. But I am their God. And as surely as I live, I will punish you for treating my people with anger and hatred. Then they will know that I, the Lord, am punishing you. And you will finally realize that I heard you laugh at their destruction and say their land was yours to take. You even insulted me, but I heard it all. Everyone on earth will celebrate when I destroy you, just as you celebrated when Israel was destroyed. Your nation of Edom will be nothing but a wasteland. Then everyone will know that I am the Lord. A message for Israel's mountains. Chapter 36. The Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, tell the mountains of Israel that I, the Lord God, am saying, Your enemies sneered and said that you mountains belong to them. They've ruined and crushed you from every side, and foreign nations captured and made fun of you. So all you mountains and hills, streams and valleys, listen to what I will do. Your towns may now lie in ruins, and nations may laugh and insult you, But in my fierce anger, I will turn against those nations, and especially the Edomites, because they laughed at you the loudest and took over your pasture lands. You have suffered long enough, and I, the Lord God, am very angry. Nations have insulted you, so I will now insult and disgrace them. That is my solemn promise. Trees will grow on you, mountains of Israel, and produce fruit for my people, because they will soon come home. I will take care of you by plowing your soil and planting crops on your fertile slopes. The people of Israel will return and rebuild your ruined towns and live in them. Children will be born, and animals will give birth to their young. You will no longer be deserted as you are now, but you will be covered with people and treated better than ever. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I will bring my people Israel home, and they will live on your mountains because you belong to them, and your fertile slopes will never again let them starve. It's true that you have been accused of not producing enough food and of letting your people starve, but I, the Lord, promise that you won't hear other nations laugh and sneer at you ever again. From now on, you will always produce plenty of food for your people. I, the Lord God, have spoken. The Lord will be honored. The Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, when the people of Israel were living in their own country, they made the land unclean by the way they behaved, just as a woman's monthly period makes her unclean. They committed murders and worshipped idols, which made the land even worse. So in my anger, I punished my people and scattered them throughout the nations, just as they deserved. Wherever they went, my name was disgraced, because foreigners insulted my people by saying I had forced them out of their own land. I care what those foreigners think of me. So tell the Israelites that I am saying, you have disgraced my holy name among the nations where you now live, so you don't deserve what I'm going to do for you. I will lead you home to bring honor to my name, and to show foreign nations that I am holy. Then they will know that I am the Lord God. I have spoken. I will gather you from the foreign nations and bring you home. I will sprinkle you with clean water, and you will be clean and acceptable to me. I will wash away everything that makes you unclean, and I will remove your disgusting idols. I will take away your stubborn heart and give you a new heart and a desire to be faithful. You will have only pure thoughts because I will put my spirit in you and make you eager to obey my laws and teachings. You will once again live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. I will protect you from anything that makes you unclean. Your fields will overflow with grain, and no one will starve. Your trees will be filled with fruit, and crops will grow in your fields, so that you will never again feel ashamed for not having enough food. You will remember your evil ways and hate yourselves for what you've done. People of Israel, I'm not doing these things for your sake. You sinned against me, and you must suffer shame and disgrace for what you have done. I, the Lord God, have spoken. After I have made you clean, I will let you rebuild your ruined towns and let you live in them. Your land will be plowed again, and nobody will be able to see that it was once barren. Instead, they will say that it looks as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. They won't see towns lying in ruins, but they will see your strong cities filled with people. Then the nearby nations that survive will know that I am the one who rebuilt the ruined places and replanted the barren fields. I, the Lord, make this promise. I will once again answer your prayers, and I will let your nation grow until you are like a large flock of sheep. The towns that now lie in ruins will be filled with people, just as Jerusalem was once filled with sheep to be offered as sacrifices during a festival. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Dry Bones Live Again. Chapter 37. Sometime later, I felt the Lord's power take control of me, and His Spirit carried me to a valley full of bones. The Lord showed me all around, and everywhere I looked, I saw bones that were dried out. He said, Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones come back to life? I replied, Lord God, only you can answer that. He then told me to say, Dry bones, listen to what the Lord is saying to you. I, the Lord God, will put breath in you, and once again you will live. I will wrap you with muscles and skin and breathe life into you. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I did what the Lord said, but before I finished speaking, I heard a rattling noise. The bones were coming together. I saw muscles and skin cover the bones, but they had no life in them. The Lord said, Ezekiel, now say to the wind, The Lord God commands you to blow from every direction and to breathe life into these dead bodies, so they can live again. As soon as I said this, the wind blew among the bodies, and they came back to life. They all stood up, and there were enough to make a large army. The Lord said, Ezekiel, the people of Israel are like dead bones. They complain that they are dried up and that they have no hope for the future. So tell them, I, the Lord God, promise to open your graves and set you free. I will bring you back to Israel, and when that happens, you will realize that I am the Lord. My spirit will give you breath, and you will live again. I will bring you home, and you will know that I have kept my promise. I, the Lord, have spoken. Judah and Israel together again. The Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, get a stick and write on it the kingdom of Judah. Then get another stick and write on it the kingdom of Israel. Hold these two sticks end to end so they look like one stick. And when your people ask you what this means, tell them that I, the Lord, will join together the stick of Israel and the stick of Judah. I will hold them in my hand and they will become one. Hold these two sticks where they can be seen by everyone, and then say, I, the Lord God, will gather the people of Israel and bring them home from the foreign nations where they now live. I will make them into one nation and let them once again live in the land of Israel. Only one king will rule them, and they will never again be divided into two nations. They will no longer worship idols and do things that make them unacceptable to me. I will wash away their sin and make them clean, and I will protect them from everything that makes them unclean. They will be my people, and I will be their God. Their king will always come from the family of my servant King David, and will care for them like a shepherd. The people of Israel will faithfully obey my laws. They and their descendants will live in the land I gave my servant Jacob, just as their ancestors did. I solemnly promise to bless the people of Israel with unending peace. I will protect them and let them become a powerful nation. My temple will stand in Israel for all time, and I will live among my people and be their God. Every nation on earth will know that my temple is in Israel, and that I have chosen the Israelites to be my people. Gog invades Israel. Chapter 38. The Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, condemn Gog, that wicked ruler of the kingdoms of Meshech and Tubal in the land of Magog. Tell him, I, the Lord God, am your enemy, and I will make you powerless. I will put a hook in your jaw and drag away both you and your large army. You command cavalry troops that wear heavy armor and carry shields and swords. Your army includes soldiers from Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya, as well as from Gomer and Beth-Togarma in the north. Your army is enormous. So keep your troops prepared to fight, because in a few years I will command you to invade Israel, a country that was ruined by war. It was deserted for a long time, but its people have returned from the foreign nations where they once lived. The Israelites now live in peace in the mountains of their own land. But you and your army will attack them like a fierce thunderstorm and surround them like a cloud. When that day comes, I know that you will have an evil plan to take advantage of Israel, that weak and peaceful country where people live safely inside towns that have no walls or gates or locks. You will rob the people in towns that were once a pile of rubble. These people lived as prisoners in foreign nations, but they have returned to Israel, the most important place in the world, and they own livestock and property. The people of Sheba and Dedan, along with merchants from villages in southern Spain, will be your allies. They will want some of the silver and gold, as well as the livestock and property that your army takes from Israel. I, the Lord God, know that when you see my people Israel living in peace, you will lead your powerful cavalry from your kingdom in the north. You will attack my people like a storm cloud that covers their land. I will let you invade my country, Israel, so that every nation on earth will know that I, the Lord, am holy. Judgment on Gog. The Lord said to Gog, Long ago I had my prophets warn the people of Israel that someday I would send an enemy to attack them. You, Gog, are that enemy, and that day is coming. When you invade Israel, I will become furious, and in my anger I will send a terrible earthquake to shake Israel. Every living thing on earth will tremble in fear of me, every fish and bird, every wild animal and reptile, and every human. Mountains will crumble, cliffs will fall, and cities will collapse. I, the Lord, will make the mountains of Israel turn against you. Your troops will be so terrified that they will attack each other. I will strike you with diseases and punish you with death. You and your army will be pounded with rainstorms, hailstones, and burning sulfur. I will do these things to show the world that I, the Lord, am holy. Gog is defeated. Chapter 39. The Lord said, Ezekiel, son of man, condemn Gog and tell him, You are the ruler of Meshech and Tubal, but I, the Lord, am your enemy. I will turn you around and drag you from the north until you reach the mountains of Israel. I will knock the bow out of your left hand and the arrows out of your right hand, and you and your army will die on those mountains. Then birds and wild animals will eat the flesh of your dead bodies left lying in open fields. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will set fire to the land of Magog and to those nations along the seacoast that think they are so secure, and they will know that I am the Lord. My people Israel will know me, and they will no longer disgrace my holy name. Everyone on earth will know that I am the holy Lord God of Israel. The day is coming when these things will happen, just as I have promised. When that day comes, the people in the towns of Israel will collect the weapons of their dead enemies. They will use these shields, bows and arrows, and spears and clubs as firewood, and they will be enough to last for 7 years. They will burn these weapons instead of gathering sticks or chopping down trees. That's how the Israelites will take revenge on those who have robbed and abused them. I, the Lord, have spoken. The Burial of Gog. The Lord said, After Gog has been destroyed, I will bury him and his army in Israel, in Traveler's Valley, east of the Dead Sea. That graveyard will be so large that it will block the way of anyone who tries to walk through the valley, which will then be known as the Valley of Gog's Army. The Israelites will spend 7 months burying dead bodies and cleaning up their land. Everyone will help with the burial, and they will be honored for this on the day the brightness of my glory is seen. After those 7 months, the people will appoint a group of men to look for any dead bodies left unburied. This must be done for 7 months to make sure that the land is no longer unclean. Whenever they find a human bone, they will set up a marker next to it. Then the gravediggers will bury it in the valley of Gog's army, near the town of Gog's army. After that, the land will be pure again. Ezekiel, son of man, I am going to hold a feast on Israel's mountains and offer sacrifices there. So invite all the birds and wild animals to come from every direction and eat the meat of sacrifices and drink the blood. The birds and animals will feast on the bodies of warriors and foreign rulers that I will sacrifice like sheep, goats, and bulls. I want the birds and animals to eat until they are full and drink until they are drunk. They will come to my table and stuff themselves with the flesh of horses and warriors of every kind. I, the Lord God, have spoken. Israel will be restored. The Lord said, When I punish the nations of the earth, they will see the brightness of my glory. The people of Israel will know from then on that I am the Lord, their God. Foreign nations will realize that the Israelites were forced to leave their own land because they sinned against me. I turned my back on my people and let enemies attack and kill them. Their lives were wicked and corrupt, and they deserved to be punished. Now I will show mercy to the people of Israel and bring them back from the nations where they are living. They are Jacob's descendants, so I will bless them and show that I am holy. They will live safely in their own land, but will be ashamed when they remember their evil ways and how they disgraced me. Foreign nations will watch as I take the Israelites from enemy lands and bring them back home, and those nations will see that I am holy. My people will realize that I, the Lord their God, sent them away as prisoners, and now will bring them back to their own land. Never again will I turn my back on the people of Israel, and my spirit will live in them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Ezekiel sees the future temple in Jerusalem. Chapter 40. 25 years after King Jehoiakim and the rest of us had been led away as prisoners to Babylonia, and 14 years after the Babylonians had captured Jerusalem, the Lord's power took control of me on the 10th day of the first month. The Lord showed me some visions in which I was carried to the top of a high mountain in Jerusalem. I looked to the south and saw what looked like a city full of buildings. In my vision, the Lord took me closer, and I saw a man who was sparkling like polished bronze. He was standing near one of the gates and was holding a tape measure in one hand and a measuring stick in the other. The man said, "Ezekiel, son of man, pay close attention to everything I'm going to show you. That's why you've been brought here. Listen carefully, because you must tell the people of Israel what you see." The East Gate. The first thing I saw was an outer wall that completely surrounded the temple area. The man took his measuring stick, which was 10 feet long, and measured the wall. It was 10 feet high and 10 feet thick. Then he went to the East Gate, where he walked up steps that led to a long passageway. On each side of this passageway were 3 guard rooms, which were 10 feet square, and they were separated by walls over 8 feet thick. The man measured the distance between the opening of the gate and the first guard room, and it was 10 feet, the thickness of the outer wall. At the far end of this passageway, I saw an entrance room that faced the courtyard of the temple itself. There was also a distance of 10 feet between the last guard room and the entrance room at the end of the passageway. The man measured this room. It was 13 feet from the doorway to the opposite wall, and the distance from the doorway to the wall on either side was 3 feet. The 3 guard rooms on each side of the passageway were the same size, and the walls that separated them were the same thickness. Next, the man measured the width of the passageway, and it was 22 feet. But the 2 doors of the gate were only 16 feet wide. In front of the guard rooms, which were 10 feet square, was a railing about 20 inches high and 20 inches thick. The man measured the distance from the back wall of one of these rooms to the same spot in the room directly across the passageway, and it was 42 feet. He measured the entrance room at the far end of the passageway, and it was 34 feet wide. Finally, he measured the total length of the passageway from the outer wall to the entrance room, and it was 85 feet. The 3 walls in the guard rooms had small windows in them, just like the ones in the entrance room. The walls along the passageway were decorated with carvings of palm trees. The outer courtyard. The man then led me through the passageway and into the outer courtyard of the temple, where I saw 30 rooms built around the outside of the courtyard. These side rooms were built against the outer wall, and in front of them was a sidewalk that circled the courtyard. This was known as the lower sidewalk, and it was 85 feet wide. I saw the gates that led to the inner courtyard of the temple, and noticed that they were higher than those leading to the outer courtyard. The man measured the distance between the outer and inner gates, and it was 170 feet. The North Gate. Next, the man measured the north gate that led to the outer courtyard. This gate also had 3 guard rooms on each side of a passageway. The measurements of these rooms, the walls between them, and the entrance room at the far end of the passageway were exactly the same as those of the East Gate. The north gate was also 85 feet long and 42 feet wide, and the windows, the entrance room, and the carvings of palm trees were just like those in the east gate. The entrance room also faced the courtyard of the temple, and had 7 steps leading up to it. Directly across the outer courtyard was a gate that led to the inner courtyard, just as there was for the east gate. The man measured the distance between the outer and inner gate, and it was 170 feet. The south gate. The man then took me to the south gate. He measured the walls and the entrance room of this gate, and the measurements were exactly the same as those of the other 2 gates. There were windows in the guard rooms of this gate and in the entrance room, just like the others, and this gate was also 85 feet long and 42 feet wide. 7 steps led up to the gate. The entrance room was at the far end of the passageway and faced the courtyard of the temple. Carvings of palm trees decorated the walls along the passageway, and directly across the outer courtyard was a gate on the south side of the inner courtyard. The man measured the distance between the outer and inner gate, and it was also 170 feet. The gates leading to the inner courtyard. We then went into the inner courtyard through the gate on the south side of the temple. The man measured the gate, and it was the same size as the gates in the outer wall. In fact, everything along the passageway was also the same size, including the guard rooms, the walls separating them, the entrance room at the far end, and the windows. This gate, like the others, was 85 feet long and 42 feet wide. The entrance room of this gate faced the outer courtyard, and carvings of palm trees decorated the walls of the passageway. 8 steps led up to this gate. Next, we went through the east gate to the inner courtyard. The man measured this gate, and it was the same size as the others. The guard rooms, the walls separating them, and its entrance room had the same measurements as the other gates. The guard rooms and the entrance room had windows, and the gate was 85 feet long and 42 feet wide. The entrance room faced the outer courtyard, and the walls in the passageway were decorated with carvings of palm trees. 8 steps also led up to this gate. Then the man took me to the north gate. He measured it, and it was the same size as the others, including the guard rooms, the walls separating them, and the entrance room. There were also windows in this gate. It was 85 feet long and 42 feet wide, and, like the other inner gates, its entrance room faced the outer courtyard, and its walls were decorated with carvings of palm trees. 8 steps also led up to this gate. The rooms for sacrificing animals. Inside the entrance room of the north gate, I saw 4 tables, 2 on each side of the room, where the animals to be sacrificed were killed. Just outside this room was a small building used for washing the animals before they were offered as sacrifices to please the Lord, or sacrifices for sin, or sacrifices to make things right. 4 more tables were in the outer courtyard, 2 on each side of the steps leading into the entrance room. So there was a total of 8 tables, 4 inside and 4 outside, where the animals were killed, and where the meat was placed until it was sacrificed on the altar. Next to the tables in the entrance room were 4 stone tables, 20 inches high and 30 inches square. The equipment used for killing the animals was kept on top of these tables. All around the walls of this room was a 3-inch shelf. The rooms belonging to the priests. The man then took me to the inner courtyard, where I saw 2 buildings, one beside the inner gate on the north, and the other beside the inner gate on the south. He said, "The building beside the north gate belongs to the priests who serve in the temple, and the building beside the south gate belongs to those who serve at the altar. All of them are descendants of Zadok, and are the only Levites allowed to serve as the Lord's priests." The inner courtyard and the temple. Now the man measured the inner courtyard. It was 170 feet square. I also saw an altar in front of the temple. We walked to the porch of the temple, and the man measured the doorway of the porch. It was 24 feet long, 8 feet wide, and the distance from the doorway to the wall on either side was 5 feet. The porch itself was 34 feet by 20 feet, with steps leading up to it. There was a column on each side of these steps. Chapter 41. Next we went into the main room of the temple. The man measured the doorway of this room. It was 10 feet wide, 17 feet long, and the distance from the doorway to the wall on either side was 8 feet. The main room itself was 68 feet by 34 feet. Then the man walked to the far end of the temple's main room and said, "Beyond this doorway is the most holy place." He first measured the doorway. It was 3 feet wide, 10 feet long, and the distance from the doorway to the wall on either side was 12 feet. Then he measured the most holy place, and it was 34 feet square. The storage rooms of the temple. The man measured the wall of the temple, and it was 10 feet thick. Storage rooms, 7 feet wide, were built against the outside of the wall. There were 3 levels of rooms, with 30 rooms on each level, and they rested on ledges that were attached to the temple wall so that nothing was built into the walls. The walls of the temple were thicker at the bottom than at the top, which meant that the storage rooms on the top level were wider than those on the bottom level. Steps led from the bottom level, through the middle level, and into the top level. The temple rested on a stone base 10 feet high, which also served as the foundation for the storage rooms. The outside walls of the storage rooms were 8 feet thick. There was nothing between these walls, and the nearest buildings, 34 feet away. One door led into the storage rooms on the north side of the temple, and another door led to those on the south side. The stone base extended 8 feet beyond the outside wall of the storage rooms. The west building and the measurements of the temple. I noticed another building. It faced the west end of the temple and was 117 feet wide, 150 feet long, and had walls over 8 feet thick. The man measured the length of the temple, and it was 170 feet. He then measured from the back wall of the temple, across the open space behind the temple, to the back wall of the west building. It was 170 feet. The distance across the front of the temple, including the open space on either side, was also 170 feet. Finally, the man measured the length of the west building, including the side rooms on each end, and it was also 170 feet. The inside of the temple. The inside walls of the temple's porch and main room were paneled with wood all the way from the floor to the windows, while the doorways, the small windows, and the 3 side rooms were trimmed in wood. The paneling stopped just above the doorway. These walls were decorated with carvings of winged creatures, and had a carving of a palm tree between the creatures. Each winged creature had 2 faces. A human face looking at the palm tree on one side, and a lion's face looking at the palm tree on the other side. These designs were carved into the paneling all the way around the 2 rooms. The door frame to the temple's main room was in the shape of a rectangle. The wooden altar. In front of the doorway to the most holy place was something that looked like a wooden altar. It was 5 feet high and 4 feet square, and its corners, its base, and its sides were made of wood. The man said, "This is a reminder that the Lord is constantly watching over his temple." The doors in the temple. Both the doorway to the main room of the temple and the doorway to the most holy place had 2 doors, and each door had 2 sections that could fold open. The doors to the main room were decorated with carvings of winged creatures and palm trees, just like those on the walls, and there was a wooden covering over the porch just outside these doors. The walls on each side of his porch had small windows and were also decorated with carvings of palm trees. The Sacred Rooms for the Priests. Chapter 42. After the man and I left the temple and walked back to the outer courtyard, he showed me a set of rooms on the north side of the west building. This set of rooms was 170 feet long and 85 feet wide. On one side of them was the 34 feet of open space that ran alongside the temple, and on the other side was the sidewalk that circled the outer courtyard. The rooms were arranged in 3 levels, with doors that opened toward the north, and in front of them was a walkway 17 feet wide and 170 feet long. The rooms on the top level were narrower than those on the middle level, and the rooms on the middle level were narrower than those on the bottom level. The rooms on the bottom level supported those on the 2 upper levels, and so these rooms did not have columns like other buildings in the courtyard. To the north was a privacy wall 85 feet long, and at the east end of this wall was the door leading from the courtyard to these rooms. There was also a set of rooms on the south side of the west building. These rooms were exactly like those on the north side, and they also had a walkway in front of them. The door to these rooms was at the east end of the wall that stood in front of them. The man then said to me, "These rooms on the north and south sides of the temple are the sacred rooms where the Lord's priests will eat the most holy offerings. These offerings include the grain sacrifices, the sacrifices for sin, and the sacrifices to make things right. When the priests are ready to leave the temple, they must go through these rooms before they return to the outer courtyard. They must leave their sacred clothes in these rooms and put on regular clothes before going anywhere near other people." The size of the temple area. After the man had finished measuring the buildings inside the temple area, he took me back through the east gate and measured the wall around this area. He used his measuring stick to measure the east side of this wall. It was 840 feet long. Then he measured the north side, the south side, and the west side of the wall, and they were each 840 feet long, and so the temple area was a perfect square. The wall around this area separated what was sacred from what was ordinary. The Lord's glory returns to the temple.